cloud, I think. But I don't really use the cloud, but I think I do have the cloud usage now. I think Shoshana changed things around so that I think it's going to work.
Okay.
But
But sorry, I
nothing.
interrupted you mid-sentence.
No, that was good. I mean, that was important. And I can't remember my mid-sentence, but that so this light that is conceived by Kade, in the stages of Kadesh and Orchatz, which function as Abba and Ima, that light or increment of light or consciousness is what by the end of the evening or the end of the year is now integrated into our more expanded, evolved, enlightened self, and with all the pleasure that that brings, the joy and pleasure that that brings. And so behind the scenes, they are understood to be working as we move through the rest of the steps. They are understood to be working to kind of press us and pressure us to kind of make the decisions that we need to make in order to bring about the integration of this consciousness in the most good serving, God serving, and self serving and spiritually productive way. So, okay. So we have that's Kadesh and Orchatz. What did I want to say about that also? I can't read my handwriting. Right. And so, right. So Orchatz. So as we, okay, wait a minute. So in terms, so that's, so we have the conception, the Kadesh and Orchatz is connected to the shame spasm because it's the lights that in processing and learning how to function, how to work in the most spiritually productive way with the shame spasm, it's these lights that were conceived at the beginning that are the lights that we absorb and integrate and turn from ordeal into consciousness. Okay, and so we are also, I'm not sure where this comes in, but we are, this is, it just somehow this is a sentence that came up. I don't know which stage it associates with, but I think it's very true, which is that we are trapped. We are like hostage to our ego densities, to our ego defenses. Like that's kind of where we're stuck here, is that okay, with the karpas. I think this is goes with the karpas. So karpas is and the Seder, it's described as the young sprout, youth, which someone's needs to be muted. Karpas, young sprout, you, like because we go from immaturity to maturity in on a spiritual path. So the karpas is young sprout, youth with its agonies and ecstasies, the peak experiences that alternate with mistakes, stumblings, and sins, are katnut. Our narrow, constricted, childish, know-it-all consciousness may be endearing, but it invariably gets us into trouble. This is like I have in mind adolescence when I was writing this as kind of the ultimate of constricted consciousness, katnut, narrow-minded consciousness, which is really the shame spasm. It's like kind of at that stage, there is just a hypersensitivity to shame and a like a constant like a movement back and forth between contraction and inflation, inflation and deflation, inflation and deflation. That is the life of a like a of that level, that stage of youth. I'm going to read something from the Shame book that describes this better. Oops. A shame spasm catapults the ego into a confusion of self-contempt and self-importance, a whirl of contradictory emotions and self-assessments. The reason that shame is so loathsome is because it pierces through all the protective layers and rattles the core. When a narcissistic upset triggers a shame spasm, our thoughts go racing, and it's nearly impossible to quiet the mind and soothe the heart. Observing this vortex of reactivity, one cannot but notice how attention tosses from thought to thought, from blaming others to flagellating oneself, from justification to guilt, from plotting revenge to acceptance, from I deserve to I'm unworthy, from inflation to deflation, from finding the good to wallowing in the bad, from I'm a hero to I'm a failure, from affirming God to rejecting him, from grudge to forgiveness, from cowering to outrage. So that's the
What
like
page
the
is
shame
that?
spec. That's page 173 to 4. So that's the karpas, the cut, the young sprout, the adolescent, the that is like trapped by his her ego defenses and inflation, deflation, shame ordeals. Okay, then, and okay, so then yachatz is the breaking of the middle matzah. So in the Haggadah, all of these stages that we're going through are read vis-a-vis that particular developmental process of cut into gadlut that happens at the Seder. So now I'm trying to pull out the teachings that might work to in terms of giving some guidance and understanding insight into how to work with shame spasm. So yachatz is the breaking of the middle matzah, which is the vis-a-vis the shame spasm explanation. So it's the it's a way of like when in the karpas immaturity, it's just there's no way out. It's like one is literally trapped by their ego defenses, and there's just no wherever they go, there they are, and it just is. It's a it's like it's impossible to get out of the drama of it and begin to make some like stability, like bring some kind of stability into the situation. And so the yachatz is a primitive way to do a somewhat primitive way to do that, which is to deny, like in the yachatz, what we're doing is breaking the middle matzah and hiding half of it, which is as if creating an unconscious subconscious. Like it's the denial, we're de it's a way of using denial to bring some level of stability into the situation, because we can't really face the full implications of our shameful self, and so are what is uncomfortably experienced as such. And so by pushing and projecting and denial, all these kind of ego defenses, enable us to begin to get a handle on things, to be able to just escape the just intense drama of a shame spasm. And the denial and projections. Right. So we push that discomfort into the subconscious, and we can ignore it, and we somewhat, and we can and have some kind of like partial relief from it, or you might call it mastery, but it's not really mastery in any truly sophisticated way, but it is mastery in terms of not being consumed by it, as was the case in the karpas, the profound immaturity. And then we, like these stages, have also these little subtitles. So before karpas, it was life with its pitfalls, temptations, and stumbling blocks. And now, after the yachatz, the subtitle is Healing Path Begins, psychological level. And that's the magid. So that's the next level of kind of working with the shame spasm, is to kind of pause and take some distance. And basically, like in the book, it talks about record what happened in as dispassionate a way as possible, to really, that's also a way of creating some separation from just immersion in the drama of it, and to just write as honestly and deliberately as possible. Kind of what caused this shame spasm, and what is the, how are you experiencing it, and what seems to bring relief and what doesn't bring relief, and just and what are the events? What did I do? What did they do? What did I say? What did they say? Like, not all shame spasms entail other people necessarily in that way, but many of them do. And it could be that the shame spasm is yours that you're involved in, or it could be someone else's shame spasm that you're swept into, which and they're different in their ways, but they're also very much similar in their ways. And so the Magid is in the shame spasm path of Tikkun, is that the exercise that is talked about in the book itself, which is to record as accurately and dispassionately and thoroughly as possible the sequence of events that produced the shame spasm, and then how it is experienced from the inside and from outside and all around. And that also, like, kind of the dispassion that it calls for is also a kind of relief from the drama of it, and the confusion, and the kind of that bipolar I don't know what to call it. Rocking, bipolar rocking, yeah.
Can I interject? There's
Yes.
therapeutic language, there's like a differentiation that happens when we're able to kind of name what's happening or see it from the outside rather than be in the shame of it, in the story, the emotions. It's a kind of differentiation where we can kind of keep our frontal cortex and be in relationship to what happened rather than kind of in. I
Great.
find
That's a,
that, yeah.
yeah, that's a great word for what's happening, the differentiation of
Yeah,
this.
and it seems like
Yeah.
kids, they're just in, they are it. Like younger, that's part of immaturity is that you just are the center of everything. There's no separation between you and other, between, so it, yeah, feels like a part of that.
That's good. Okay, so then the next subtitle is Spiritual Path Begins with Tshuva, Healing the Deep Inherited No Blame Fault Line in Our Soul. Okay, so that then spiritual path, or spiritual work is begins with raksa, so in the Seder order, this is the raksa is washing hands before, like netilas yadayim, and then comes motzi, which is the bracha over the matzah, and then comes matzah where you eat the matzah, and then you and then it comes the maror, the korach, and all that, the Shulchan Aruch, which is the actual meal, safun. We'll get to all that, but so raksa, even so, in the Seder it's the washing of hands, but in the and like kind of reading it as a path of shame spasm, so we like it has to do with a kind of like we come clean, like a kind of vidui, a an acknowledgement that we are have some kind of partial responsibility in this. It could be a partial responsibility because we, you know, got angry and called someone names, or it could be partial responsibility because no one can make us do anything. We are the theoretically the masters of our emotions. And so, you know, if we feel bad, then, you know, we can't just point our finger at someone and say they made us feel bad. They might have done something that was hurtful, but we then have to take responsibility for how we process that hurtful thing, and that's our responsibility. So raksa is that kind of coming clean. Like generally in the shame spasm initially, it's like always someone else's fault, and that's the first level of finding some kind of relief, even though it's kind of cheating, but it's but still, and so raksa is kind of the taking of responsibility, of some responsibility, and then the motzi, right, is the bracha of acknowledging higher power that is working through our life, and so the kind of in the shame spasm process, it's like accepting for real that Hashem is orchestrating this tikkun of humility, like that, like at some point along the way. And so here it's in the motzi, attaching it to the motzi, which is the you know, the farmers, there's 39 malach, I mean not has 11 malachot that go into preparing, you know, seeding the wheat and then watching it grow and separating this and separating that, and 11 of the malachot come from taking wheat from seed to bread. And then we say, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, Hashem brings bread from the earth, as if we did all the work. I mean, what is that? What are we? But we're acknowledging that really, you know, if Hashem doesn't bless the process, we labor in vain, those who build it. So there is this acknowledgement that Hashem is engineering, orchestrating this ordeal, this shame ordeal. Because there is some humility that like that our life, our spiritual life requires that we make another step forward in terms of humility, in terms of
You're muted, sorry, Udit.
Okay. Okay. So Hashem Hamotzi, Hashem is orchestrating this tikkun for my, in order to bring me to another and deeper level of humility, which Hashem says to the ego, you and I can't share the same space. So a spiritual path is a search for Dvekud, a striving for Dvekud. So if you really want Dvekud, if you really want to connect, bond, and connect with Hashem, then you have to learn to appreciate, to enjoy humility, because it's kind of the inversely proportional, or the non-humility and closeness to Hashem. Okay, the next step is the matzah, which I wasn't sure what to do with, because it's in the Seder, it really has to do with matzah being such holy, special, unique food. It has a whole different status to it. And so just eating it is a whole trans is the highlight of the whole Seder, really. So I was thinking that maybe the matzah, as it relates to shame, is that like people often, like, shame is a triggering, like, discomforting, like, hard to sit with emotion, and so it does affect how people eat. And so some people, deal with the anxiety of the shame spasm through eating too much, and some people too little. And it's like, it's kind of gets messed up, the whole food and shame. They kind of trigger each other. So that's what I was going to say about matzah. Does anybody have anything they want to say or add or disagree or?
I have a question from a couple of minutes ago when you said that Hashem is saying you and I can't share the same
To
space,
the
the ego,
ego, he says.
to the ego, right? And the thing that keeps coming up is we have to have some maybe very fine, refined ego film and hold that space.
Right. We have to cultivate our job. Like Moshe had an ego. He had a refined ego, a super refined ego, that he was mostly a transparent ego. Like that's what we, like, ego density, I should say, is like Hashem says, you and I can't dwell in the same place. Like ego density doesn't fly. Kayla?
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking of of water as like a tool. Like I've recently even thinking about it as a tool of like the hand, what that is, like what that process is. Like, yeah.
Wait,
And
of what processes?
like using water as a tool of Tara, like in a very primal sense, it feels almost like just like a cleansing, opening, letting go of, and also like allowing yourself to be, like in a very chesed, gentle, watery way, to be like kind of like opened and cleansed.
That's plan A. I mean, that's nice. Yeah, but yeah. Well, I mean, oftentimes there's just so much anxiety that's triggered by the shame spasm that it just isn't going to happen in such a gentle way.
I'm wondering, like, what could be the possibility for water there? And then I was thinking, like, if that is a possibility in some kind of way, then like the it, like there could be like an opening to like come into awareness of that there could be new light that could come in, like wheat as in chachma, like bread as in
Mm-hmm. Right.
matzah,
Right.
and then becoming open to like receive that new increment.
I mean, it sounds great on paper. It does. And it is I mean, we do use water to purify our, it is a purifying tool. I mean, the primary one, really. Well, also fire purifies. Something to think about.
You
Rib
want to go
Sharma?
up?
Yeah, I mean, I really love this question, and just from kind of a numbers point of view, there are seven before and seven after. So this kind of like, if this were a chiastic structure, if you will, like this is that centerpiece which often holds so much of the tension of the story. And
But wait, what are you saying about the seven and the seven? What
well,
seven?
if there's 15 steps,
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
seven before
Okay.
and seven after.
Right.
So this is like right
Yeah.
there in the middle. And
Oh, interesting. I never saw that. Yeah.
that's always in a story, like that just stands out to me. And I was really studying chiastic structures yesterday, in Exodus. So it's really a strong thought for me. And I keep hearing one of my teachers, Arnie Mandel, who used to say that we have to sit in the fire of our shame until we burn it off.
Right. That's Gehenna. That's
Right there.
Gehenna. Yeah.
Right there. And so
Yeah.
like in a way, like this unique food, like you've taught so many times, you've taught me about how this rectification of eating, this moment of eating, is like us are just sitting there. Like we're just sitting there inside this moment of transformation. Like this is where I face it. This is where I chew it. This is the place where I can allow for the story to really be ruminated on. This is where, like, instead of hiding behind the denial of me hiding that piece before, like, there's something about this chewing here, which becomes that peak of possibility, and it's a painful one. It can be a painful one, but just like sitting there, and that rumination, like, I love the way you introduced years ago for me the like stopping everything and having the whole Seder table like spend 5 minutes chewing on that matzah.
Right.
And there's really not a Seder table I sit at where that doesn't happen.
Right. It is the highlight. It really is.
And so yeah, so like that's why this part for me is, shame, it does discomfort us, and just that the courage of this moment to just sit and chew on it and just like feel that pain and that fire. And there's something so purifying or cleansing about that if you give yourself the gift. So that's what comes up for me.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice. Malkasima?
I was also thinking of the kind of the denial of the karpas. Now here it's like all it's on the table, and it's the moment of it's like a really a klipa noga moment where you choose you how to meet it. You choose to meditate for 5 minutes and chew, or to just like take another bite and keep eating, or kind of how do you meet whatever's here? How do you relate? Is the matzah kadosh, or is it just part of the meal, or does it have meaning? One of the it feels like a real
I mean, it
the
is one of
hitamnut.
two. It is one of two mitzvot de'oraita that we do at the Seder, the Maggid and the Matzah.
I see. And then there's that piece that it's the eating. It's the only time where it's a mitzvah of the year, those two, where it's the mitzvah of eating. So
Where we say
lifting up
Asher
all those other.
Kedushani Mitzvah. Right.
Right,
Go ahead.
yeah. Well, just that
Go
it's
ahead.
we're lifting up all the other klipa noga moments where it wasn't a mitzvah and maybe we didn't meet it. So we're. Our, yeah, our kavanah.
It really is. I mean, it's such a powerful moment, the moments of eating the matzah. It should really, should come to the Seder prepared with your kind of prayer and yearning and to be able to, because here all the gates are open, everything's aligned, the channels are open, and the lights that are coming down just really touch the deepest level of core, and we can't get in there otherwise any other days of the year. It's it takes the mitzvah of where it's a mitzvah of eating to get everything lined up. So
So beautiful, the humility before that, that kind of allows then the light, what wants to happen in that place. I guess it's, is it like chashmal there? Like you wouldn't just mal and you wouldn't just chash? I don't, or I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, you just gotta
That's
do what draws you. I mean,
in that
it's
moment.
yeah. I mean, I think you should come to the Seder table with some kind of focus of prayer, but also be open to letting that go and going where the moment draws you. Okay.
There's one more hand. Cassia had her hand up
Oh,
as well.
I didn't see. Hi, Cassia.
Hi, sorry, Dee. Thank you so much. Just have a maybe a more basic question. When we're eating the matzah, is it good enough to have an intention of just meeting ourselves in a very real way? Or are you saying that, or maybe are you suggesting that we should also have an actual prayer that we say in between bites?
Well, first of all, you can pray. I mean, I can't remember where I read this, but I know I read it in a Kabbalistic sefer that if you're praying for something spiritual, then you don't need to speak the prayer. If you're praying for something more material, then the prayer needs to be spoken aloud with your mouth and all that. So in the Seder eating, I mean, while you're eating, you can be praying. But I'm not saying that you should do that and not what feels, what you were going to do that feels, that epitomizes what you really are wanting now in your life, which is to encounter yourself truly and honestly. So, and that is also a prayer in and of itself, is that desire for that kind of encounter with self. So I think you should trust your instincts in that matter, and do what draws you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Can I follow up on a question of what you just said? If it's a prayer for something spiritual, using words, breath is not as important as if it's material. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I remember reading that in a, I just can't find the place where I read it.
Because I thought Jewishly we always are supposed to have word, sort of breath along with the word in the prayer.
Yeah, I mean, generally that's the liturgy that's the idea of liturgy, is to kind of speak prayer. But sometimes, you're in situations where that's not available, like you can't really speak aloud, and you would look strange moving your lips if you weren't. And so the teaching that I read was that it's, if you're praying for spiritual things, then if your prayer is for something spiritual, then you don't need to articulate it. I mean, there. Actually, I'm just reminded of I was learning with someone on third meal, Shabbos, just this past Shabbat, Kuntres Acharon, which is the very last section of the five books of the Tanya, and it said that if you don't speak the prayer, that thoughts without speech do nothing in the universe. I mean, literally, it was so harsh the way it was, but it wasn't clear. We didn't get far enough to know whether he was going to bring a second, that was one opinion, and he was going to bring a second opinion. So I don't know if that's the last word, but it, I clearly, from that little sliver of teaching that we had on third meal, it's controversial.
I mean, on another level, it just doesn't feel like you could, the heart energy and the heart chakra, and thought forms, people can feel them from each other. It just
Right.
seems surprising to say there's no spiritual impact, and surely Hashem is,
Right.
right,
That's
is
what
very,
I, yeah.
what's that?
Yeah, I that's what I said. I don't believe that, even though it was the Bala Tanya who was saying it. It was a little bit of chutzpah, but it does seem pretty clear to me that it's a field, like it sets in motion vibration that spreads like a field, like light and consciousness. I don't know.
I mean, meditation is usually or largely silent. So yeah, okay. Thank you.
And there's like stories of tzaddikim that would just like sit together and have these like encounters without talking at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Maror. Right. So Maror, the bitter herb or whatever, is that somehow in the process of processing the shame spasm, so there comes a certain point where it can be a bitter point where you have to forgive, and I can't remember, and repair. Like you need to forgive and apologize, and that there's some that which is hard to do when you're kind of spent so much previous time blaming, but that as you kind of come through the other side of the shame spasm, so you see that it wasn't all so black and white, and that maybe you were inappropriate in this situation or that, or and that maybe you really do owe someone an apology for the way you reacted to them or whatever it is. And that's, I mean, on one hand, ideally it should be a relief and kind of a pleasure to really get back onto the right track with this person, but it can actually be bitter to have to admit, I mean, to have to admit and apologize and forgive. Okay, and then there's the Korach, which also, like, kind of the significance of it in the Seder is because it's the matzah, which is the sweetness, the chesed level of things, and the maror, which is the bitter, and having to bring them together, and how to deal with paradox and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't have that same associations with the shame. So I'm not sure how to so I mean, it still seems like the so the sandwich is has the maror and has the matzah and has the like it seems like it is something about complexity that you are in the process of coming out of your shame spasm. You're appreciating the complexity of human beings and how they, even someone who's you have so much respect for and you honor in so many ways, could still kind of do something that seems so wrong or bad or inappropriate or whatever it is. And so to, kind of acknowledge the complexity of oneself and others. Magasima, what are you going to say?
I'm just thinking that the like when we getting to the stage of kind of owning and choosing maybe something different than what I used to when I was in my hindrances and in my that then there's a place of needing to forgive ourselves. I often find in therapy like a grieving process almost. There's the for the way I used to be, for what I didn't, what I was held back from or wasn't able, the pain, the bitterness of that way of going through life. And so it seems like that, like the forgiving ourselves and the younger parts of us that learned how to show up that way and that forgiveness, and then kind of the sweetness of it comes together with the kind of a relief of the healing that's happened, of the new consciousness that's coming in. It hurts because now I'm so aware of what it's like the I have to face it and feel it, but there's like the sweetness, it feels very together when you're saying the forgiveness, that's part of that. Forgiving, I'm saying more on an intra
Oneself.
psychic. Yeah, that there's a forgiveness for the parts of me that didn't know how to show up any differently, and as the as coming into this no, new way, as the sweetness of coming into something new meets that.
So, Shulchan Aruch.
Well, could I just add to that for one second, if that's okay? I'm so sorry. Yeah, just to build on what Makasim has said, and this is almost like too obvious. But you know, the it's like there we have these bricks, you know, we have this mortar, right? And it's like it's a rebuilding, it's a restoring possibility time. Like when I go into, you know, shameful things or shameful pasts, and then I allow the transformation and I accept that bitterness and I like, oh. But then there's this moment of possible transformation, and that's the rebuilding. And that's like the restoring, and I get to restore to restory before I really go into the pleasure of this meal. Because now I can come in maybe with new bricks and new stories, and I don't have to sit there in that kind of like you know, inconvenient truths.
Beautiful. Right, that brings us to Shulchan Aruch. Right, is kind of well. I it's kind of like the su'udat hoda'ah in a certain way, like the banquet that kind of marks the like we came out alive. We came out and the friendships were able to mend and the and you know, there is a like a celebration that boy, that was a difficult chapter, and it's over, and it's and we did, you know, in the end, it turned out good, and that the light from the Abba and Ima at the beginning that instigated the whole process is now became largely integrated and is kind of and is celebrate is and it's a cel it's cause for celebration. And then Safun. Can't read these things here. Let's see. Safun, revisiting the unconscious procedures suppressed, right? And so Safun then is when we eat the afikomen, which is the which means literally dessert, but it's really another piece of matzah, and in particular the piece of matzah that was hidden and then found, refound. And so it's the kind of embrace that we've kind of matured and expanded to the point that we can embrace the unconscious that we had suppressed and you know, projected away from us. And then Baruch, which is that yeah, this I didn't really get to. But so in the Haggadah, it's blessing Hashem for the healing resources He's brought into our life, for orchestrating our healing path, and for wanting, allowing, assuring, and enabling us to heal from our shame, to do to do tshuva and really transform. And then Hallel, I'm just going to read it now because we're running out of time. Hallel is, and the reading though is connected to the more Haggadah type significance of the, each stage. So Hallel is thanking Hashem for it all, for the concealed good as well as the revealed good. The concealed good is so well concealed it appears bad and is experienced as bad. So we're thanking Hashem for it all, for the concealed good as well as the revealed good, for the ordeal and our redemption. Our life becomes a Shir Chadash, a new song of praise and celebration. Right, that the Yirida L'Tzarech Aliyah, that the Aliyah that was the fruit of the Yirida that started with Abba and Ima and Kadesh and Urchatz, now comes back around as the as an Aliyah that is the fruit of the Yirida, of the fall, of the descent, of the ordeal of shame, that we're coming out the other side and we're experiencing the new consciousness and the joy and pleasure that it associates with. And Nirtza is the deepened relationship with Hashem produced by this cycle of growth. It's the sweetest pleasure and makes the soul-crushing descent into exile absolutely, without a doubt, worthwhile. The consciousness acquired in the process brings a whole new capacity to know Hashem. Our relationship has deepened profoundly, for the intimacy at its core comes from seeing and being seen, knowing and being known. And that's all, folks. That's the there are three different like developmental processes that crisscross inside the Seder. One is the 15 stages of the Seder itself, which we just went through. One is the whole Seder can be understood as a meditation on matzah, that you meditation is a continuous flow of thought on a particular object or point of focus. So you pick something as your focus, you try to hold your attention there, you distract, you come back, distract and come back. So if you pay attention to the in the Seder, so the there are seven times that we come back to the matzah. We talk about it, then we drop it, we talk about it, we come back and we talk about it differently. And so the matzah, which is just this, doesn't move, doesn't talk, doesn't do anything, goes through whole changes in the course of the Seder based on the eyes that we bring to our matzah each time we return and talk about it. And then there is the whole sequence of the Arba Kosot, the four cups of wine that we drink at the Seder, and that also is a developmental sequence. And the still small voice teaching Haggadah talks about it at length, and it's available on Amazon in the States, and it's available here through Pomerantz or me.
I mean, first of all, the Haggadah is—it's awesome. I also this laying out the shame path on this—it was such a wonderful summary of of what we learned. It really
That was
felt
the
it like,
idea.
yeah, it was very cool. It really felt like it made it fit in play, like brought it into. Yeah, it was great. Thank you. It, yeah, it landed more, integrated more. So, thank you.
And I'm just wondering what people's thoughts are about that idea of working with the WhatsApp chat for the and creating a whole class of what comes up there and how to like answer questions or whatever practical matters. I don't know.
How do you
Does that
mean
interest
creating a
people?
whole, how do you mean creating a class around
Like
it?
meaning
Like,
instead of having the a text to just go through the chat from like it's recorded now, right? for someone or some two or three or four, I don't know, to go through the chat and to pull out the questions or issues or matters that came up, and then to kind of move through those, and as we move through those, new ones are going to come up, and that would become the content of the class rather than a text.
And which class? When would the class be?
Like this class, if it started up after the Chagim or maybe before in Elul, I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I think it's a creative endeavor, and it's definitely interesting to check it out.
I mean, because I always talk about there's the Torah of ink on parchment and the Torah of souls. And so I think it would be a, kind of like an exploration, more giving more attention to the Torah of souls. I mean, it could get, it's dangerous. It can get lost in, but I don't know. I kind of feel like it's worth a try.
And then segue into your next book.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sounds good.
Right.
Although
So.
I'm going to miss the weekly classes, sorry, Dee. It's always just chaser. It's always lacking in my life
Well, you
when you're
never
on
know. I might
break.
get this book done really quickly. I mean, theoretically, it could be. I don't expect it to be a big book. I expect it to be a small book. So it could
Get your
happen
own
quickly.
zone. Bezrat Hashem, yes, amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I mean, I was saying, like, I have 10 attempts to write this book that are each anything from 3 to 15 pages a piece, and I just couldn't get in. But I think I, Bli Ayin Hara, I think I found the portal. So maybe it can move it quickly. That would be great.
So exciting.
I'm going to just say, Sarah Yadid, even if it's not like the formalized book, like I still have the first copy of the spiral of You Are What You Hate,
Wow.
right? Before it became a part of that. And it's like, well, that's, I read that, and that's like such, like, even I'm just urging you, even before it gets to like the perfect stage, learning that stuff will be wonderful.
Okay. Thanks, Rebecca.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, this is Mates Esther. I love the idea of practical solutions, but I mean, practically working out like real stuff. But the quantity of WhatsApp is really worrisome to me. Like, sorry, Hudi, you're not even like, you're not right. I don't think we all like regularly check everything. It would just put with all this group and all the postings and people going through like what's going on in their real lives. I think it would be like much, don't you? I don't know how. I don't know. That's just my
Well, I
feedback.
don't know.
Concept of it being,
I was thinking
it's
that.
just my feedback of the concept of it being WhatsApp, which this seems just too tender for the WhatsApp format. I don't know.
Point taken, Montester. Point taken. I mean, I was thinking of. I haven't. I have to admit, I haven't really tuned in there so much. So I was thinking of, like going back and seeing how, what would be entailed in like kind of pulling out of maybe lengthy stories some essential question or issue, and so like kind of like making it small, like making it small, making it manageably small enough that it could kind of get to the point. I don't know, and maybe I don't know. But I hear what you're saying. That's my concern as well. Okay.
Thank you,
So,
Sarah Udit. One
yeah.
comment, maybe to do that, maybe I'm not able to do it at the moment because I'm in the middle of harvest and I don't have a second. But if someone knows how to use ChatGPT, you can download the full chat and then input it into ChatGPT and then ask ChatGPT to comb all of the chat for questions and pull them out.
Huh, that is a great idea. That
Well,
is a
either
great
questions
idea.
or themes, kind of
Or
themes
themes.
for,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm going to have to hear from
It
you
also
more clearly how
summarizes.
to do it.
Also summarizes.
Right.
Don't know, it kind of
Okay.
inspires me to add more in there, like my own, also to do the process, the journaling and the process, and also to kind of share some of the. Yeah, it is I think people also to kind of know if you're if you need to be met there or need support around it, not to kind of just put yourself out because it's not you don't know what you're gonna how it's gonna be met. But if I so I think it's kind of each person knowing if they feel resourced enough to be vulnerable in that way and without any expectation. Or sometimes people meet in a way you do get a response, but it doesn't meet in the right way. Or so just kind of knowing that you're, I think, and maybe there's a way to. I mean, I'd be open if people wanted to send me kind of questions or themes and not put it on the chat if that felt safe, and to add that into the mix of the themes in some way that maybe would feel, I don't know, that might be an idea to
If you want to follow through on
Yeah.
the ChatGPT idea, I do a lot of work with it and would know exactly how to do that and get the themes forth. So just let me know in the future if you'd like that support.
Oh, okay. Great, because I just was a little bit too fast for me to get
I
what
know
you're
exactly. I
talking
know
about. So
exactly
now,
how to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So, Chag Kasher V'Sameach,
Wow.
everybody. Have a really deep, transforming growth through joy, redemption tasting. Wow. It's, I
Peace.
mean, it's such an amazing moment right now for the Jewish people and the planet, and there's just so much happening, and it's like I feel like anything is possible. Anything is possible. And so, please God, let it be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Samaya, thank you very much.
Yeah.
For
You're
everyone.
well, and
Thank you.
thank you. I mean, it's
Naamah.
really, I
So
think
much,
it's
lady.
gonna be another world on the other side of Pesach. So it will be really interesting to see ourselves there.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Stay safe.
Well,
Thank you
yeah,
so much.
stay
Yeah.
safe, everybody. Bye
Thank
bye.
you. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.